For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. Once again, we return to the book of Exodus as we continue to follow the children of Israel. We have witnessed their passage from captivity through the miracle of the Red Sea and back into the wilderness. The Christian walk closely mirrors this journey. We were all born into the captivity of sin, of which deliverance can only come through God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17 as Pastor Holland begins his two-part message entitled, Oh No, Not Again.
I want to read verses 1 through 7. The Bible said, And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. Now that's where they had been when they got the manna and the quail. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be also ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. And behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord not among us or not? I think there's been times in all of our lives we've had a craving for water. If you work outside any period of time, and some of you do, you carry with you a water jug. You keep ice there in order that you might from time to time go and take some of that water upon your parched lips and dry throat in order that you might give it that wonderful taste. And by the way, there's nothing in the world any better tasting than good old cold water when you're in a dry and thirsty place. Well, the children of Israel had got there. Now understand, God is doing what He's doing. God makes no mistakes, okay? And God had led them exactly the way He wanted to lead them. But now He's bringing them to a place. First of all, He made them stop and think about it for a little bit about food. And the manna and the quail that He sent. And it looked as though they were not going to get food. But, you know, they've seen God roll back the Red Sea. Can you imagine any miracle any greater than that? God standing the water up on its side for them to go through? You would think that would be enough, right? That they would say, well, God, whatever, if you could do that, you can do anything. They got a little further out, and they began to complain about the food, and God said, okay, we're going to send manna. I'm going to drop it on the ground for you. All you got to do is go out and gather just enough for the day. But yet, they disobeyed God. They went up and tried to gather some up to keep for tomorrow, because obviously, they didn't trust the God of today to be the God of tomorrow. But I want you to know today, God of today is still the God of tomorrow. And if He can supply our needs today, He can supply it tomorrow. Okay, they made it through that. Now they come to the place. I imagine Moses was about ready to pull his hair out. He probably, in his own mind, was thinking, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why do you allow all these things to happen? Now we're here, and the Bible said there was no water to drink. Now again, this made the people very angry. They were thirsting. They needed something. And by the way, water is a great commodity for any person that lives in this world. They say you can live without food longer than you can live without water. But you need water in order that you might keep your body hydrated. When a person gets sick, runs fever, that fever will burn out the liquids in your body. And the doctor says, drink plenty of fluids. And what he means by that is in order that you might hydrate your body to the place that you need it to be. And so we find here as they come today, there's a physical thirst in their lives. But you know, today there's a spiritual thirst that I think we need to think about today. And people today are looking any and everywhere in order that they might satisfy their thirst in this world. Now, spiritual thirst is a normal thing, but it literally becomes abnormal in the life of a lot of people because they're seeking for things to satisfy. But I submit to you today, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can make your life, take your life and make it whole. And yet today, many people have a thirsting, and they have a thirst in order that they might satisfy the desires of their heart. We're living in a day to where immorality is as rampant as it's ever been. We're seeing and hearing things that are shocking to us, and we don't understand why. But people today are seeking something. They're seeking immorality. They're seeking fleshly pleasures. They're seeking selfish powers. People today want alcohol, and they want drugs, and they want illicit sex, and they want all those things. But friend, I tell you, those things will not last. Only your relationship with God can satisfy the thirst that is longing in your heart if you'll serve Him. People today live in order that they might possess. They live in order that they might have property. They live in order that they might have recognition. They live so that they might have position or power. But friend, today what we need to do is to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, He's the one that has the living water of life, where if you drink of it, you will never thirst again, and your spiritual needs will be met. The thirst of the human heart can be met by God and by God alone. But I want you to look at verse 1, and I want you to see the crisis that arose. The Bible said, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, proper name, after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched their tent in Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. There was a crisis that arose among the people. Now listen, you got to understand, the people had been wandering in the desert. In the desert, I've been out west, and I've been to some hot, dry areas. I live in South Georgia, and I've been to some dry areas, hot places. But I'm glad to know that most of the time I can go in and get a drink of water from the refrigerator. I can put ice in a cup and make it at any time. But here they come, and they get there, and all the creeks and all the water sources are all dried up. You said, my, that's just something that they traveled all that way and got there and the places were dried up. Listen, folks, that was no coincidence. I want you to know, before I get through today, I hope you know, I believe God dried them up before they got there because it was His plan to teach them a lesson along the way. The crisis existed. It was barren, and it was a matter of life and death. And by the way, if you had your family out there, I'm not too hard on the children of Israel. I tell you what, I wonder what I'd have been doing. If I'd have had a family out there following me that I needed to get water for, I wonder what I'd have done. But you know what the tendency always is? It's always to blame the leader. They could not see God. And even though many of them believed in God, supposedly, here was Moses trying to lead them and do what God told him to do. But all of a sudden, they began to get angry with him. I believe the Lord was obviously the reason that all the water was dried up is because He was planning to reveal Himself at Rephidim. I believe He wanted them to see Him, and I believe everything that transpired in this journey. And even as we would progress and go on, we would see that God did everything that He did in order that He might reveal Himself and that they may see Him as the God of salvation, as the God of deliverance. And friends, sometimes we get thirsty. Sometimes when our desires or our needs aren't there, just be still and know that God may want to reveal Himself to you to show you His salvation and His deliverance. No doubt the Lord was not only planning to reveal Himself, but I believe the Lord was planning to test them. I tell you, you can say what you want to, but being a child of God isn't like going through life all smooth sailing. I want you to know there's going to be some storms in your life. The Bible says that we know that as we travel through this life, He said, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Every one of us is going to go through a trial at some time or the other. And I tell you, I believe this was nothing more than another test. God had tested them with the food, and believe me, I think they failed miserably. We come now to the point where God's going to test them with water. You would think that they would have learned something from the last experience. Can you imagine, friend? And again, I can't get over this. God rolled back the Red Sea. He sent quail. They didn't even have to go hunting them. They didn't have to bait the field. The quail just came in and they went out and got them. And the manna fell from heaven. Doesn't that tell you that there must be a God somewhere that loves you and is going to take care of you? But yet, now there's no water. And what do? They're at it again. God saw immediately that they had not learned their lesson. In fact, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I'm not probably going to preach any more recently from this. I believe I've settled on this, maybe the last one for a little while. But I tell you, all through the wilderness wanderings, God was testing His people to see what they would do. The Lord was obviously planning to glorify Himself at Rephidim. Let me tell you something. Who can we give praise for rolling back the Red Sea? God. Who can we give praise to for sending the manna and the quail? God. Who can we give praise, and you'll see in a moment, God provided water for them. Who can we give praise to? God. It's not me. It's not you. We don't need a pat on the back for anything we do. But God causes trials to come in our life in order that He might reveal Himself, in order that He might test us, and that He might be glorified in everything that we say and do. Friend, when a person gets saved and born again by the Spirit of God, we ought to leave the house of God rejoicing over what God has done. And understand, if it's done, it's God that does it. He may use us, and gratefully, I'm glad that He does. But when He brings afflictions in our life, it's not to punish us, but it's in order that He might show Himself to us. It's in order that He may test us. It's in order that when you get the answer, He may get the glory for what He's done. Sometimes trials arise in our lives that are beyond our control. And we do nothing, absolutely nothing, to control them. We wonder sometimes, and I hear people say, well, wonder why God did that to me. I'm going to tell you, I don't know, but let me give you a few thoughts about why I think He does. God uses trials to test, to prove, and to strengthen us as a child of God. You know what? Friend, today, if we fail in any area of our life, it's probably in the area of prayer. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And even if we do pray, friend, that's exactly maybe why God leads us through this trial in order that we might cry out to Him for help. That we might lift up our voices to Him crying out for help. When we go through trials, it'll make us trust Him more and more. I'm glad today that we can trust in Jesus.
Can you trust in Jesus? If you will accept Christ as your Savior, He will deliver you from the bondage of sin. Though trials may exist in our Christian life, God has absolute authority over the prince of this world. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, where you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week at this same time.